All right, sorry for the delayed start. My apologies. What is going on, everybody? This is Randall Thor 19, one of the co-hosts for the Xbox 2 podcast. And with me, as always, from the UK this week, I believe, Jez Corden, the one and only. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, man. Pretty tired. Traveling quite a bit, but settled in the UK. It's nice to be back home, where you can get a real cup of tea.
Ugh, who drinks tea? Who actually drinks tea? Not me. I got a
cool people drink tea. Only
I got
cool
a
people.
Coke right here, ready to drink. But so it's funny because Jez forgot us Americans have this thing called daylight savings time.
Yeah, ours isn't until this next week. The rest of the world has it next weekend, but you have it last weekend.
Yeah,
you like to be different and special. So.
Yeah, no. So we moved. Our clocks went forward this week. So Jez was like, wait a minute. Wait, no, we can't do it. Oh, my God. And so that's why it's at 4 o'clock today, or, you know, it's an hour later than normal. But hey, at least it's on a Thursday. So, I mean, how's your week been? You've been doing pretty good?
Yeah, it's been pretty good. Up and down. Had death in the family, which is why I'm in the UK. But, you know, it happens. And, other than that, not bad. You know, had a big scoop with the Xbox One S All Digital Edition. Was that last week?
That was the week before.
Yeah. Oh, was it? I don't even know what day of the week is. But, you know, traffic on that was nice. Other than that, you know, don't know whether I'm coming or going because I've been so busy. But right now, I'm just trying to get through to Division Review because
huge game.
As an online game, they don't have a review period for the Division 2.
No, so, they didn't.
No, because the servers weren't live. So I've got to rush through to the end game and see what it's all about.
Right.
Yeah, we'll talk about that a bit.
Yeah, because I've actually been playing that as well.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's actually kind of cool. Can't wait to talk about it. So shout out to everybody in the chat. We got Indie Gamer. We have Luca, DJ Singh, The Finest, Daniel B, Gunstar. A whole bunch of people in there. You know, if you want to say anything, obviously chat's open. You can let your voice be heard, ask us questions. And, you know, if I'm watching the chat, I'll pick it out if I see any really good ones. But we appreciate everybody watching live or watching later on, you know, iTunes and stuff like that. So, yeah, really excited to talk about it, get this podcast going. It's been a lot of interesting news recently. And yeah, you can bet your ass we're going to be talking about Halo coming to PC. And my God, Steam? Jez? Steam? What is going on?
Oh my God. Yeah, no one expected that. I saw some people did, because everyone expected Halo MCC on PC. It's like the worst kept secret in gaming history. But I was looking at some of the polls where they were like, oh, so what do you think will be announced? And people were saying Reach, and people were saying Halo MCC on the Windows 10 store, but Some of the polls are like Halo MCC on Steam, and nobody's really expected that.
Yeah,
I was surprised and impressed that Microsoft did that, and it's had a really, really positive effect for the franchise.
Yeah,
I think
we'll talk about all that. Xbox Live got officially announced today for iOS and Apple, or iOS and Android, but no Switch. Interesting.
No Switch.
Yeah. Interesting. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that Inside Xbox episode. Everybody always talks about Inside Xbox. Oh, my God, Inside Xbox, the worst show ever made by man. It's like, but there's one thing I wanted to kind of focus about Inside Xbox, and that's that xCloud demo. Oh, my God, have I seen some hot takes about that, about whether it's fake, like she was, like the whole thing was fake and she's just acting like, you know, like, or was it real? And oh my God, the latency. We'll talk about that. Google, man, I don't know if you've been paying attention, but Google has been like, they got a big press conference next week. They'll be like, hey, we got a whole bunch of people showing up. We'll kind of speculate on what possibly be going down and, you know, whatever else we feel like talking about. But those are the topics, and we're going to get into the games because games are the most important part of gaming. It's not just, hey, come hear the cool speculation and talk between Rand and Jez. I want you guys to hear about the games that we play because that's the most important part. And Jez, I know you've been playing Division 2.
I have
I've
a
been
lot.
playing Division 2 as well. I actually really like it. What about you?
I'm loving it so far. It's one of the biggest criticism I heard from the beta and from other people so far is that it's very similar to the original. But the more you play it, the more you realize it's there's a lot of subtle changes which sort of all come together to make it just so much that's so much better than the original. It feels a lot more Clancy-like now with the whole the time to kill being reduced, and if there are a bullet sponge enemy, that's because they're covered in destructible armor, which I felt is pretty subtle but a really great change for the way gunplay feels. And because things like grenades are far more powerful now and enemies dodge them really aggressively, you have to be tactical about how you use them, combine them with your crowd control skills. And also because enemies react really, really aggressively to grenades, you can even use grenades as crowd control themselves to push enemies into chemicals and then blow them up. And there's just a lot more tactical aspects to it than the original had to some degree, but didn't feel like it had the same amount of finesse, I think is probably the best way to put it. I
Dude,
just love it. I just love it, man,
there
so
is
far.
so much to do in this game. Like I think I'm like I'm level 9. I feel like I've only done three main stories because when you go out in this Washington, D.C., it is so densely detailed. There are things to do all over the place. I feel like overwhelmed. Like there's so much content, so much loot in the game, especially on the Xbox One X. My God, does it look gorgeous. Some of the set pieces that I've seen, some of the locations that you go to, it's like wow. Kudos so far to Massive and Ubisoft for making this. Honestly, I think this is going to make people just forget about Anthem completely. I know you said
Man,
that
made me think of the
you're
better.
done. You're done with Anthem after playing Division, right?
Dude, I'm like the biggest BioWare fan. The Mass Effect franchise is one of my favorite of all time. I think I have more hours in Dragon Age Origins than almost any game that I've played on Xbox consoles. I've completed it at least 10 times. I don't really play games over and over again, but Dragon Age Origins is one of them. I love that company, and I really wanted to love Anthem. I really did. And I forced myself to try and love it. And after I don't know, maybe 150 hours, and it's weird to complain about Anthem. My boss actually made a good point that you're complaining about a game that you played for 150 hours. Don't you feel like you got your money's worth? And I'm like, well, yeah, I guess. But it's the thing that frustrates me is that it could have so easily been so much better.
Yeah.
There's so many bugs, the scaling issues, the fact that there's basically three dungeons to do an end game over and over again, the fact that loot was meaningless because of the scaling bugs, all the bugs, man, and just weird design decisions like having backtracking, things that block you from backtracking, and the blockers sort of came down from the ceiling, and if you walked under them at the wrong time, you could be pushed through the floor. Just so many weird bugs in that game, and it's like, why didn't the AI delay this? Why did they
Yeah,
push it out?
they
Why did
probably
they
needed
delay it?
it for their fiscal quarter, because it was like came out in February. Fiscal would ended like I think March or whatever. They probably needed it for then, but I think they really wanted it out for Division 2. Seeing the polish on this game, seeing how just good it is and how much an improvement over Division 1 it is, they probably wanted it out before Division 2 came out. That was probably it.
Yeah, but now they've done that, they've basically killed the franchise.
Yeah,
Like,
and they
where's
also
that?
released Apex Legends a couple weeks before Anthem. I'm sure that didn't really help with, because it's like you give them this great free-to-play battle royale game, and it's like, well, I'm sure that competes with Anthem to some certain degree. It's like it's pretty crazy. But one of the complaints I had about this Division 1 was it's kind of rectified in an interesting way in this game, was the bullet sponge enemies, right? They're
Yes.
not so much bullet spongy anymore, and the enemies that are, like the yellow enemies, there's visual cues this time. The reason they're bullet spongy is because they're wearing this huge armor, and you can like shoot out the off the armor on their like legs and their arms and stuff. So it actually makes sense why these enemies are taking a whole bunch of damage. You know what I'm saying, Jez? I thought that
And
was
there's
a
like there's also like tactics you can use to chew through them. Like there's abilities that give you bonuses to attacking weak points and stuff like that. And it's like I was saying, it's one of those subtle changes that
Yeah.
just makes gunplay feel so much better, so much more tactical. It's what the first game should have been. It like delivers on that promise. Like they took everything they learned about the Division One, all the feedback, people bitching about the bullet sponge enemies. I was going to say monsters then, but there's no monsters in Division. It's very down to earth and realistic. But you know, they really double down on all that feedback, and I am so curious to see like what the end game's going to be like because, you know, even the side quests feel like what main missions used to feel like almost. The main missions are a lot more grand and have like unique moments and set pieces and stuff like that. And, you know, and then you've got like the things that would have been side missions in the last game are now just these dynamic events which are spawn everywhere and give you loot. And there's loot everywhere.
Yeah, and
There's just loot
like you mentioned,
everywhere.
the side missions are meaningful. They're actually really good to do. There's reasons to do them. You usually get, like an upgrade point or what do they call it, like a CHD tech or whatever. I mean, there's reasons to do the stuff, and they actually take a little bit of time. And the combat's not run and gun. I know the first game it was a cover-based shooter, but a lot of people kind of played it like run and gun. They rectified that in this one. You do have to take cover. Because if you get caught out in the open, they added like armor that your character has now, but you will go down. So it's the right kind of challenge as well, where it's not like a pushover where you're not really dominating the enemy. Like you get caught out of position, you will die.
And enemies like
So
aggressively try and flank you as
yeah,
well.
they do that all the time. So it's like it's not super easy. There is a fair amount of challenge there. One big disappointment I do have is how co-op works in the game.
How
I
does
don't know
co-op
if
work?
you've experienced this yet.
I'm playing COD right now, and I didn't think anything bad of it so far,
Well,
but.
it depends. Who are you playing co-op with and how and what level are they? Are they the same as your level?
Well, I'm. No, they're a bit lower than me, but they scale
Okay.
up to my level.
That's the thing. So I was level 5 and I was playing with my buddy Gopher, who was level 14. Right, so the enemies in the game scales up to the highest person, the highest level person in the game, right? So I'm level 5 and all of a sudden all the enemies are level 13. Now you get a co-op buff, right? So you can do more damage, and I could kill the enemies just fine. However, because my gear is so low, essentially those enemies killed me in one shot every single time. So
Oh, okay.
it was impossible for me to play with them,
Yeah,
because
we
I would
just did
just.
like our level difference isn't so bad as that, but we just did a dungeon, and the boss did one shot my
Yeah.
teammate.
So that's the thing. So it's like, so I have a couple buddies who got early review copies that are farther along than me. I started when the game went live for everybody else on Tuesday night. And, I think my buddy Maka and Gopher are both level 30. So I can't play with them until I get to, around that level or 25 when I have some good gear. So we can't play together. And that kind of bugs me a little bit.
Why don't you just, you know, learn to play, you
I
know?
mean, I can't think of another co-op game that does that. Like, oh, well, your friend's, he's higher level than you and you can't play now. I
Have you
can't think
never
of a
played an
co-op game.
MMO?
No, I haven't. I haven't. But that's
You
the only
can't.
like really one bad thing I'll say about the game is that. But if you got a group of people that are constantly going to play together, you won't have any issue. It's just that we had a couple people play it
Well, why
early,
doesn't.
so.
Can't you be the group leader and he scaled down to your level?
No, it always scales up to whoever is the highest in the game.
All right.
So
Okay.
that's the only thing I'll say about it. But other than
Fair
that,
enough.
really enjoying it. Really enjoying it, man. So, I mean, that's pretty much it. It's just been Division 2. I played a whole bunch of Apex, which, God, I'm so addicted to. But now that Division's here, I'm probably off that game for a little bit because I got to go back to Devil May Cry. I got to start and finish Metro. I have to do Last Guardian. And there's a bunch of people on the interwebs that want me to play Bloodborne, which I said I would do. So Bloodborne being the future, and then of course there's the games for next month. So my plate is pretty full right now. And like Fuzzy Belvedere says in chat, you can play support or healer because there are different like paths you can take, abilities. you can get like drones and stuff where you know, you can throw out like healing items, like healing grenades or whatever. But yeah.
I mean, so, you could, like, if you were playing with someone and scaling up to level, you could take like shield perks and stuff, and
you
stuff
could, like, you could. But I mean, I don't know. Going getting shot down in one shot was not fun. It was just like, yeah, we can't play this together. But
yeah, I guess. I mean, so I'm trying to think, like, how could they really rectify that?
Well, I mean, Division 1 wasn't like that. I don't recall Division 1 being like that. Well, I mean, you know what they could have done? They could have just scaled
gear as well. That trivializes getting gear upgrades.
True, but they could have just scaled down the person who's the highest level to, you know, like the lowest level in the group. Like, he wouldn't be what?
Well, do it halfway where you scale up a bit and they scale down a bit. Yeah, although that's extra calculations and probably.
Yeah. But either way, the game's really good. I can't wait to see what everybody else thinks about it when it launches tonight, I think, Friday.
Yeah.
Have you played anything else? Or do you want to move right on into the topics?
I just completed Pokemon Black.
nobody cares about Pokemon, Jez.
Dude.
Nobody cares. Nobody cares. On. Yeah, I mean, Pokemon. Pokemon Black. Which one is that? Is that the one from 1982?
Oh my god. It came out like, I don't know, 2006 or something ish. I don't know what year it came out. It came out a long time ago, right? There's like barely any 3D in it. But it was a great game. I played for like 70 hours.
Mm.
But I tell you what, playing Pokemon on the DS made me realize is that because it's portable, I can fit gaming in around my life where I normally wouldn't be able to, like traveling. Because I don't really like, I hate mobile games, right?
Mm-hmm.
Touch controls are garbage, always garbage. But on the 3DS and Nintendo Switch that actually have tactile buttons, I'm totally, totally fine with playing that mobile. And we could probably feed that into a Project X Cloud discussion because I think, like, I would hope that with Microsoft pursuing mobile gaming, that they are going to make some kind of accessory for it because I ain't playing Halo with a touchscreen, man.
Nobody wants to play mobile. Nobody wants to play these console quality games with touchpad, with like touch controls. Nobody, absolutely no. And you know what? I really don't like how like you have the control, like the phone hooked onto the controller like that either. You know.
At least that's.
I mean, at least you're using a controller.
Yeah.
I don't know. Plus, the screen's so small. Like, I got my 55-inch LG OLED with HDR, and everything looks so amazing.
You can't take a 50... Although I have seen people try and do this. You can't take a TV on a train.
I know you can't. I know.
I have seen people take, like, little monitors and their PlayStations onto trains. Or like they have one of those suitcases that let you put an Xbox in, and they've got like a monitor built into one of the sides. I've seen those.
Yeah.
But I would totally be fine with playing like Final Fantasy VII or Final Fantasy IX, which are coming out for Xbox soon, or like Darkest Dungeon or one of these turn-based games. I'd be totally happy to play one of those.
Would you wanna get in there and do a round of BR while you're on the train, multiplayer latency?
No.
Would you wanna get in there and do an epic single player? Heck, I just wanna do some Cyberpunk 2077. It really can't be.
I wouldn't. But people do, man. Like Fortnite Mobile is huge. I can't even play Minecraft Pocket Edition.
Well, you know what? You brought up Fortnite. So there's something I wanted to transition to. So we're going to get into the topics now. So I want to ask everybody, you know what? If you want to, if you're enjoying the show, enjoy the channel, enjoy the podcast with me and Jez, smack that like button. We'd appreciate it while we get into these topics. Share out the podcast because YouTube sucks at doing that these days. And I'm sure I probably just got demonetized for saying YouTube sucks.
That'd be so funny if I actually have an algorithm that demonetizes.
Yeah. Oh my god, they said YouTube sucks. Demonetize. No money.
That is such a Google thing to do.
God. So did you see the information that came out yesterday about Fortnite crossplay, where they removed Nintendo Switch from the crossplay pool with the PlayStation and the Xbox. So Xbox and PlayStation are now one pool. They're the console pool. And if you opt out of that, you can't even play BR anymore on the Xbox and PlayStation. You get put, you can only like play like creative mode or whatever, right? But So they removed Nintendo Switch from that. And they put it in the mobile pool because Epic said that they feel like that'll give users a better experience. Now, there are some people that took this to say that Nintendo pulled out of crossplay, right? When it's more Epic's doing, because I think they probably have analytical data that shows, yeah, Switch guys get destroyed by Xbox and PlayStation dudes because their game is at 60 frames. They actually have better controllers. And, you know, maybe Switch players, I'm not going to say they're not as good, but Epic is like, you know what? We're gonna match the Switch players with, now that's if you solo queue. If you solo queue, that does, you can still like, if somebody's on the Switch and you can team up with the person on Xbox, you'll play with, you know, Xbox and PlayStation. So this is only for the solo queue. What do you think about that, Jazz? The idea that they're like, all right, we're gonna match Switch players with mobile players now.
Well, I agree that it's probably unfair. I mean, it's 60 FPS on Xbox, right? I've never actually played Fortnite on console. So is it 60 frames on Xbox? Surely it is with them graphics.
Right? Yes. You know, originally it started at 30 frames, and then it was like an option on the X and the Pro to hit 60, and then it didn't become an option. They just updated the game to be 60 overall on all the models. So okay, pretty sure it's 60 frames everywhere.
60 frames versus 30 is just a huge disadvantage for whoever's got 30. So I appreciate that they did that for Switch players, and clearly I believe them when they say it's because they want them to have a better experience. Because otherwise, if Nintendo would pull the plug, Rocket League would no longer be crossplay, or Minecraft would no longer be crossplay. Surely, especially Rocket League, which is a competitive game.
Yeah.
I don't think this is Nintendo's doing. And if it was Nintendo's doing, Epic Games has the clout to just say, "Yo, Nintendo did this. Don't blame us." Yeah. I mean, why would Epic protect Nintendo? They don't give a damn. They got billions and billions of dollars.
Yeah, they're behind the scenes doing some shady stuff, Jess. I don't know if you saw what just came out about 15 minutes before we started the podcast.
Nope.
Oh boy, man, when this. So let's lay the groundwork of this whole Epic Games game store situation, right? They're using their Fortnite money, the billions they've made on Fortnite, to finally create a competitor to Steam. But what they're doing is they're basically using that money and they're buying games, the exclusive rights to games. They're money-handing developers to put their games on Epic, the Epic store. They're making it so I think the revenue splits 88-12. Where I think on Steam was like 70-30, right? So you see a lot of stuff. There was the whole Metro Exodus was on Steam, and then about a month before it came out, it was like, nope, we're on Epic now, right?
That is just the height of scum and villainy,
right? Right, and you know, people are like, there are people like, this is great competition, and then everybody's like, no, this is horrible. There's rumors that Borderlands 3, which they've been teasing heavily on social media, that, you know, Gearbox is going to have some announcement on like March 28th. Randy Pitchford's, you know, publicly saying that he thinks the Epic Store is great. I would not be surprised to see Borderlands 3 an Epic Store exclusive, right? So there's this whole stuff around the Epic Store, right? Well, it came out today because I saw the thread before we started. It's developing, it's on reset error because the user found this out, that the Epic Games Launcher appears to collect your Steam friends and play history without your consent. Yeah.
What the hell?
So I'm reading, like, and people are like, wait, what is going on? And it's this huge, long thread with, like, evidence of it, of, like, yeah, like, you sign up to this stuff, and that, like, it's like, it's almost like malware or something where like it's literally looking through your Steam account and looking at your friends and what they're doing, which I don't know. That might be a big breach of what's that new law that was put in place? The GDPR?
GD like, something or the Euro privacy law thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to forward that news story to our news team to
I
cover.
am. I'll DM you the link, but I mean, if that's pretty crazy, right? Like, that's pretty scummy, if true, correct?
Yes, it is.
It's.
I'm gonna verify that with our technical people because we have those now, apparently.
Ooh, you get
So
moving up in the world there.
actually, we have like a really great team of like operating system people who work for Android Central, but usually they dig into like Android stuff, but they can do this too. I'll see if these findings are accurate, but
R6 Steel
I
says,
wouldn't be surprised.
I mean, they I don't know, man. They've been doing some scummy stuff. You know, they accuse Microsoft of trying to have like a walled garden on PC, and like they're the ones basically paying developers not to put their games on, you know, other competing storefronts. Like Tim Sweeney, he comes off as just the biggest hypocrite there is, dude. You know?
The thing that I seem to find about money is that it makes people become hypocrites for some reason. I mean, I can't think why, but
Well, they say money doesn't necessarily change you, it just brings out the real you.
All right.
So maybe Tim Sweeney's always been a hypocrite, but man, I mean, Epic Games, they're doing big things with that Fortnite money. I never thought the one thing they would do was basically try to make a competitor to Steam, but here they are, and supposedly, judging by this thread, they're maybe illegally collecting the information about your Steam accounts and the friends and what they're playing and stuff.
Well, the thing is, they'll maybe it's like buried in their terms of service, so they can get around any legal things. But
Yeah.
I'm gonna get in. I'm not gonna say for sure that they're definitely doing this because you don't know. I'm not a technical dude, and maybe it's the information's been misinterpreted and stuff like that. But at the same time, I wouldn't be surprised. So I'm gonna put this to our team and my people and see if we can verify it independently. And then if it is true, I will shout it from the rooftops because
Damn.
that is scummy, my dudes.
Yeah, that is it's pretty bad. It's there's no other way of saying that.
I really hate what Epic Games is trying to do, like the way they're trying to do it, because they're taking advantage of developers who've got cash flow problems, and for the most part, or in some cases, I guess, a vested interest against hurting Steam, in the case of Ubisoft. But for the indie developers, they're sort of like they've got they can't refuse money sometimes when it comes to paying the bills, keeping the lights on. You know, people in their companies have kids who've got to be fed and stuff like that. So if Epic Games comes along, they're basically taking advantage of these devs and being like, yeah, we'll give you tons of cash for exclusivity. But then they're leaving them high and dry to deal with the political PR fallout of their decisions. So like, I feel like the Epic Games deal casts a shadow over Ashen. It casts a shadow over Metro Exodus. And you can see the amount of positivity that Halo MCC for PC has gained from being on Steam. Like that Steam is just the default platform, like it or not. And I'm not against competition by any means, but it has to be like done the right way. And I feel like what Epic Games is doing is pretty much the opposite of the right way, especially because Tim Sweeney has been on the record with major publications to say that Microsoft were bad for trying to make their own store. And like it's now the roles have completely reversed. It's Microsoft who's supporting Steam and an open Windows ecosystem, whereas Epic Games is trying to take control of it, leveraging whatever influence they've bought themselves with Fortnite. So it is the height of hypocrisy, like you say.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. It's like he's smelling that money, you know. And now he's got like big money to invest in trying to compete with Steam, because that really ultimately the only way you're going to compete with Steam is investing big money.
Well, I mean, I think if you're building a storefront from the ground up and you're trying to compete with Steam, which is a gigantic, it's like it's PC gaming, right? Steam is PC gaming.
Steam is PC gaming.
I don't necessarily disagree with how he's doing it. Look, all this shady stuff aside, how are you going to get eyes on the Epic Store? There's two ways to do it. Either your own great content, right? By games you make to make people want to check out the store for your games, right? Or get exclusive games from other people. It makes sense. It's just, I think the way they're going about it is like almost completely wrong.
Well, put it this way. Even EA doesn't do what Epic Games does. I mean, EA, like, instead of trying to money hack exclusives for Origin, I'm sure EA has done that at some point, but I can't remember off the top of my head. But like, instead of going down that route, EA's been like funding indies like Unravel. And, you know, why doesn't Epic Games like literally publish these games from the ground up and just be like, yeah, you know, we've got these games that are exclusive, but that's because we've published them. We funded them from the ground up, like what Microsoft has done with Ori and stuff, which, by the way, is on Steam. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there are ways they could get exclusives which are less scummy, you know, like especially things like forcing developers to lie. They forced Ashen to lie.
Mm-hmm.
That Ashen was supposed to be Xbox Play Anywhere. And as part of their deal, they were like, oh, well, if you want this money, sorry, you got to have to cancel Xbox Play Anywhere. And they're like, to Metro Exodus, oh, sorry, if you want this, you have to cancel your Steam support. You know, it's they're forcing developers to lie and deal with the fallout of that at a PR level. And it's scummy, man. If they want exclusives, they should fund them from the ground up.
Yeah, I mean, they should. But I do think exclusives have a certain sway over people. Like, there is something to be said about first party.
I mean, sure. Like, I'm not saying it's a bad strategy. It's a scummy strategy.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm saying it's, like I said, there's like two options. Make your own great content so people want to check out your store, which is presumably what Microsoft is, you know, gearing up to do. Or buy a whole bunch of games and get people to, and force people to check it out that way. Obviously, they went with option one. It's just, it reminds me a lot of like the console like war, PlayStation versus Xbox. Not necessarily right now because, you know, gaming development's so expensive where like you really can't afford exclusives. But like back during the PS2 era, PS1 era, I mean, like you had Grand Theft Auto as a timed exclusive. You know, I mean, even recently, like Rise of the Tomb Raider, like it's almost like they're adopting that mentality, saw it because it worked on certain platforms before, and it's like, well, maybe it'll work here. And like Saltiest Gaming says in the chat, shout out to Salty, business is cutthroat. It sure is, you know, it completely cutthroat. So, I mean, we'll see how Steam reacts to this. I mean, they already kind of have with like, you know, changing the revenue split, but I wonder how gaming is going to look after next week, Jez, because Google has their keynote about how they're going to enter gaming. This is the first time in how long has it been since there's been a new entry into the video game, like console? Like, it's been 20 some odd years since Xbox, right?
Yes.
And now you have Google. And some people are like, I don't know what they're doing. Are they doing streaming? There's like different rumors. Some claim there's like consoles. I was watching a Spawn Rave video where he said there's supposed to be two consoles, maybe one of them more powerful than the X. And then there's streaming, obviously, with Project Stream. But it seems like, I mean, they recently announced Ubisoft's going to be there. Id Software is going to be there, presumably to actually probably demo Doom on a streaming device, which would be a good game to demo it, right? Jade Raymond, they hired as like vice president of Google or, you know, whatever her title is now. I remember there was talk that maybe Microsoft had hired her for a new studio. Obviously, not true. She's now with Google. Phil Harrison, who used to be with both PlayStation and Xbox, is with Google and has been there for a couple years building up this whole thing. And then today I saw that like Amy Henning's going to be there to talk about stuff. So how big is this Google stuff, Jez? Like, what's going on?
Well, it does seem like Google's going all out with it. I mean, I've heard some pretty crazy things about what Google's planning. They're planning exclusive content with third-party games, I've heard. So like, kind of like what Sony did with Destiny, where Destiny on PlayStation had extra stuff. Potentially, you could be seeing third-party games on Google's console with extra stuff that isn't on your PlayStation or your Xbox. So like, that's
That'd be interesting. Spawnwave did say
worrying.
that Sega is going to be a big partner with Google, and that Google's going to have a whole bunch of exclusives from Sega.
Man, well, the thing is, they've got the money to do it, right?
Yes, they
And like,
do.
it's pretty much the Fortnite's basically changed everything. A lot of these companies are basically seeing what Fortnite's achieved across the board and how like it became this mega hit sort of thing. And how basically, if you don't have your own gaming platform, then you can't get away with it. And Android only goes so far. And the irony about Android is that Google doesn't make a penny on Fortnite for Android, not a penny, because it's not on Google Play. You download it through Samsung's launcher or through their website. So Google's thinking like, if we want a slice of this gaming pie, really, Android's not the way to go, because it's like the most easy to pirate platform in the world. If you don't have to pay for a single game on Android if you don't want to. You can just literally download it and install it without any sort of cracks, without any hacks. It's like the most easy platform to pirate for in the world. Not that I would ever do such a thing, but I'm just aware of it. I hate mobile gaming in general. But the thing is, like, mobile gamers are just different. They don't spend, I mean, sure, you get your whales, your people who do spend tons and tons and tons, but they don't spend consistent high amounts like hardcore gamers do. And like, if you want that market, then you've got to be a player in the game, you've got to be a player, and you can't do that if you don't have a console. So I think like Google's going, they've got the cash, they've got the cash and they've got the cloud. They can take on Microsoft and Sony.
I mean, if they kind of need to make a splash, and I'm really curious to see what they have on offer on Tuesday. Like, Ubisoft is partner. I mean, they did the whole test stream with Odyssey and Project Stream. Is it out of the realm of possibility that like Ubisoft partners in some way exclusively with Google, or maybe gives like because I don't know, because Brad Sams talked about how like Microsoft is going to mandate all these games going forward have to be streamable on xCloud. But like, what if Ubisoft signs an agreement with Google and is like, no, we're with Google? What if EA wants to use their own platform? I mean, the streaming wars, like, this could really shake up the industry. I'm really excited to see what they're doing. And I mean, I know they don't really have their own exclusive content, at least not yet, but I mean, that could change, right? Are we expecting any like studio buyouts on Tuesday for them to say, by the way, we bought X, Y, and Z studio to help make games for us?
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, you have to think the whole industry is looking at what Microsoft's doing. And to be fair, Microsoft should have been doing this years ago, buying up companies to prepare for this whole thing. But Microsoft isn't just doing it for fun. They're doing it because they know Google's about to make its play. And if Google goes even further than Microsoft and buys some seriously big studios and spends some serious money, and they easily could because they've got the cash to do it. It's going to disrupt the industry, and ultimately some of the smaller players, like players who don't have a big cloud platform, namely Sony and Nintendo to some degree, they're gonna be in trouble if this stuff takes off, because
If
PlayStation now ain't up to scratch the way it is right now.
is the key word, because I still have
Yeah.
my
Oh yeah.
doubts. I still have my doubts that people really want to stream, console quality games on their phones. Like, I think people, will test it out, maybe do it at work or whatever. But like, I still have my doubts that is. I know they want it to be the future because everything has gone streaming. Like, every form of media and entertainment that you can think of has all kind of ditched the physical stuff and gone right to digital and right to streaming. So
Well, for
you
me, man, for me, it's like it has to be console quality. Because, like I say, I've just played Pokemon. I know we joke about this, me playing Pokemon and stuff, but I just played Pokemon Black for 60 hours, right? And that's not, that hasn't eaten into my regular gaming time at all. Because I've been playing Pokemon Black in places where I normally wouldn't be able to play games, like on the sofa downstairs, in the bathroom, in the bath, naked, sorry for
Naked.
that. Just on the train, playing it just everywhere, and
Yeah.
you can only do that with a portable
Okay.
device.
Well, I got a question for you. Sin Vendetta asked us, Jazz and Rand, will you guys be playing Sekiro that comes out next week? I figured that was a good way to get the super chat in there. Maybe. I don't know if I'll be playing it next week. I don't know. Like I'm not that big of a fan of the Dark Souls stuff, and this is supposed to be Dark Souls, but like way harder. I mean, I'm currently playing Division and a whole bunch of other games, so I'm not sure if I'll have time. What about you, Jazz?
I suck at Souls games. I'm not patient enough for them, so probably not.
I know someone who's dying to play that game. That's Luca. She's in chat.
Yeah.
She loves the Dark Souls series. I'm sure she's ready to play Sekiro. But yeah, I mean, whew,
So,
next week is
people
going to be
who
big.
love those games, people who love those games are gonna have a field time, but like a field day. But I just like, I don't know. I can't get good, I guess.
Well, Sub Zedox Zed, you brought up an interesting point. Take-Two isn't getting bought by Sony, it's going to be Google. So I figure we talk about that really quickly. That whole rumor that happened yesterday. I came home, about like 3 o'clock. I had about 30 DMs, no lie. No lie. 30 DMs, my notifications were off the chain. Rand! Rand, Sony's buying Take-Two! They're gonna have Grand Theft Auto exclusive, it's over. And I was like, well, Grand Theft Auto exclusive to PlayStation 5. Wow, right? But then I'm sitting there thinking to myself, this is the same thing that happened last year when Microsoft was rumored to buy Valve, EA, and PUBG. You remember that?
I do.
And I'm
I
like,
do.
wait a minute, like, are people really believing this? Like, I mean, I'm not saying that Sony's not going to buy anybody because they have in the past and they've said, like, if it's right, they will. But, like, a publisher of the size of Take-Two that would cost them $15 billion? Like, I mean, I know Grand Theft Auto's, like, absolutely huge, but, like, people were getting carried away. Like, oh my God, this is it. And then it comes out that it's just, like, completely made up, fabricated stuff. And it was just so interesting to see that headline just get passed around everywhere. How so quickly just like an unsubstantiated rumor literally became headline news across the gaming industry.
Wouldn't isn't like take how much is Take-Two worth? Like at least 20 billion, right?
I mean, they did say that the share price they'd sell would be like $135 dollars per share, which would come out to be like something like $15 billion or something like dollars cash or something.
It's, I mean, you'd be buying GTA
And
basically.
yeah, and NBA 2K, it's like one of like the two biggest franchises they have. But like, I mean, even Phil, when Phil was asked about buying EA, he's like, well, we're also a publisher, they're a publisher, there'd be redundancies, which means we don't really need a lot of their business. And I'm sure Sony's the same way. It's like they're a publisher, Take-Two's a publisher. A lot of people would lose their jobs. And the Ravenflow says, was it really headline news or crumb side news? I saw it everywhere. It was literally like
It was on
reported
like mainstream
everywhere.
media.
Yeah.
Mainstream media were covering it.
And then eventually it
And
came
Take-Two
up.
share price skyrocketed when
Yeah.
that news broke. So it was it definitely registered with the mainstream if the share price was going up.
So, and then eventually it all came out that it was just like just rumors, and I think Sony confirmed to somebody because I saw Z Huge tweeted out that they are not buying Take-Two, and it was just like wow. Joker says I only believe Microsoft rumors. Not true. I don't really believe much rumors. There are some Sony rumors that I do believe, but if you're gonna say, are you accusing me? Oh, like Rand doesn't believe in a Sony rumor because because I didn't believe that they were gonna buy Take-Two? Are you serious? Like, if the rumor was Sony was gonna buy Insomniac, I'd be like, yeah, that's very plausible. It could be true, but Take-Two? Get out of here. Jesus. Come on. Come on. I mean, I don't know. Half the time, I'm an Xbox fan, but I'm not a true Xbox fan. And the other times, I'm not even a true Xbox fan. I'm an undercover PlayStation. I'm like, I guess I'm whoever I am to a whole bunch of different people. Sometimes I'm an Xbox fan. Sometimes I'm a fake Xbox fan. Sometimes I'm a PlayStation fanboy that's undercover. And sometimes I hate PlayStation. Some of these people, they just can't nail me down. I guess I'm just like a snake slithering everywhere, you know? I have no final form or whatever. Undercover pony. Yeah, I've been called an undercover pony for some time. Even in the comment section, sometimes I'd be like, Rand, you're always doubting Microsoft. I mean, I don't know. Sometimes I'm half glass full. Like, sometimes it's like, I don't know if it's going to work out. I hope it does. But yeah. So that whole rumor came and went yesterday, which was kind of funny. But we got a super chat here from Eternal Shaddai. He says, how confident do you feel about Google and their video game streaming to be a success, knowing how the big three are already established through the years? That's like saying the Madbox will be successful when it releases. Well, first off, Google has a shit ton of money. Madbox has no money. So that's kind of big there. But Jez, go ahead and get your point in, and then I'll add on to it.
Well, I think like... The gaming industry is hard, you know. Microsoft struggled for ages. It was only really on the back of Sony's mistake of the PS3 that Xbox was able to really penetrate into the mainstream like it did. You know, so the console industry is hard. You know, it's not easy. And like you say, Sony, Nintendo, and Xbox, they all have established IP that people love. So like. But that's the thing. Google can buy its way to that IP. If it chooses the right companies and makes the right moves, it can afford to buy its way into the nostalgia and stuff, the nostalgia factor. But at the same time, Google has a massive history of aggressively pursuing things and then failing. Google Plus is the thing that obviously comes to mind. It could be a massive fail. And for sure, I don't think it's a surefire thing for Google. I don't think, like, just because they got loads of money, they can make it work, because look at Google Plus. Like, Facebook crushed them like an ant beneath their boot, you know. And with that said, I don't think PlayStation, Nintendo, and Xbox can afford to be complacent, because Google could bring innovation to the market. They could do some cool things that no one else does, and they could be, like I say, buying their way into the ecosystem, you know. Like Raven Forest in chat, Microsoft bought Halo from Apple. You know,
Microsoft bought their way into the industry.
Yeah, that's how Microsoft always.
Because they felt threatened. They felt threatened by Sony, because they felt threatened that Sony was going to eat into their core business, which was Windows at the time, and they felt the PlayStation was going to be an opposition
PC
to that.
For the living room. They thought PlayStation was going to evolve into the PC for the living room. And for some ways it did. You know, you can watch Netflix on your PlayStation, you can web browse on your PlayStation, but the industry evolved so quick that it actually became
phones.
Became the PC for your living room, funnily enough. And that's where Microsoft's bet basically failed. But on the flip side, Xbox is a profitable business, and like Phil said, which is a quote I always remember and think about, is when Phil became the head of Xbox, he said he sees gaming doing for Microsoft what iTunes did for Apple, and being like this sort of gateway to the ecosystem in a way, because it's all about them engagements, you know, the monthly active users and stuff. And that really resonated with me, because Microsoft has an image problem still to this day. I mean, they're gradually chipping away at it by being like, you know, letting Linux runtimes run on Windows now, and, you know, open sourcing things and buying GitHub and now being the biggest contributor to open source in the whole world. And, you know, things like the Xbox Adaptive Controller and championing accessibility. The 2019's Microsoft is a lot friendlier than, you know, 2009 or 1999's Microsoft. But they've still got that image problem. And even like with gaming, like people hate the Windows Store. PC gamers won't let Microsoft forget games for Windows Live, which was trash. But then Halo Master Chief Collection hitting Steam, I've seen nothing but positive Halo stuff on Reddit for the last like couple of days. Like people are really
Yeah.
excited. And
Which
it's because of Steam. You know, it's because Microsoft's being friendly, and instead of just trying to trick people over into its failed Microsoft store, they're saying we are the platform holder of Windows. We're going to support the platform and the companies that use Windows as a platform to run their business. And that means Steam.
we're going to talk about really just shortly, but I want to answer this question. It's like, how confident am I in Google? I mean, I'm not that confident, right? Google has a ton of money. They're going to try to throw their weight around. But also, Google's known to drop projects at a moment's notice when they're not doing well. They may, 2 years from now, we may hear that, their streaming service didn't get any inroads. It's not really
You know,
doing well, and they can drop support.
they're shutting down Google Hangouts, which we're using for this
I
podcast.
think, well, not like this, but like something else. But like Google's known to drop projects and not support them at the dime, the drop of a dime. So I don't think it's a sure thing. I guess it depends on what they're offering to the video game community, right? I know people put a lot of emphasis on exclusives. We all do. Exclusives matter, no matter how many people will tell you they don't. I mean, Microsoft didn't just go out and buy seven new studios. For just whatever. They bought it because they know having exclusive content for Game Pass is going to matter in the future for the Xbox platform, which is more than just a console. Sony's known that for a while. That's why they invest in these big single player exclusives. Nintendo's been doing it for years. Like they help sell the platform to the hardcore, and then the hardcore kind of get their casual friends to play. But like what really drives the industry is like the big multi-platform stuff. So it depends on if Google can offer a way, an easy and cheap way to play those third-party multi-platform games that dominate the industry. Because the casuals, in my opinion, and I could be completely wrong about this, like they don't really have, they're not really attached to a brand. They don't care if it's PlayStation or if it's Xbox or Nintendo. They just want to play their games and maybe where their friends are at. And in this scenario of the future where crossplay and cross progression are a thing and Discord's there, it's like, well, if Google's offering a solution that saves me money, they might go there instead. So we need to see the full breadth of what Google's going to offer before I can say, well, I'm pretty confident or I think that's going to fail. Like we need to see, is there consoles? Are they going to have exclusive games? How's all this stuff going to work? What's their pricing structure? But yeah, and thanks for the question, and thanks to Gunstar75 for the super chat as well. That's my kind of thought process on the Google stuffs, which is why I'm really interested in seeing how it all unfolds on Tuesday. I'm sure to make a video about that. So inside Xbox, Jez.
Inside
I figure it's time to get to that and the big announcement. We've been kind of, teasing the whole time. Well, okay, so Snake says the only platform where exclusives don't matter is on Xbox and everybody cheers. I don't know if everybody cheers. I mean, how do I explain this?
Xbox. Do we have to?
No, let's just maybe we'll segue into it later, but I don't know. We'll just get into the Halo stuff or inside PC as Tweet Platypus says. Yes, it was a very PC centric approach. I'll be forefront with you, Jez. I'm not a fan of inside Xbox.
Never really watch it, to be honest.
I don't watch it either because I just. I think it's boring. I think the things that they announced during the show can easily be a paragraph in a PR piece, and that's it. Which is why every time Inside Xbox comes on, I always just wait for it to be over and read the recap on Xbox Newswire. I also
Hey,
think
I didn't
I
read the recap on Windows
No,
Central.
I read it on the Xbox Newswire. I also think a lot of the jokes are cringy as hell, and they don't really land very well. So the show's not for me. I've just come to accept I'm a hardcore Xbox fan. I just come to accept that the show ain't for me, right? But I did tune in to watch the Halo stuff because I knew it was going to be announced there, right? And wow, Jez, where do we begin with this? So Halo Master Chief Collection, which comprises of Halo Combat Evolved, Halo 2, Halo 3, Halo 4, ODST, making their way to PC. But what really surprised people was that the game's going to be on Steam. Yeah. And which
surprised me when I heard it.
Surprised me. But then you actually go to the Steam page and it says it requires third-party account, Xbox Live. And then you realize, ah, okay, I see you, Microsoft. I see what you're doing. You know, they're going to get all the PC. They get all this goodwill, right? Halo's back in the limelight, and it's absolutely positive news for the most part. I'm sure there are some Xbox console players who are pissed off about losing another exclusive going somewhere else because I get tagged in all this stuff all the time. People complaining. I'm sure those people will be upset. And it's like I've been saying for a while now, like if you want true exclusives on your Xbox console, that ship sailed. That ship is completely sailed. There will probably never be another Xbox console exclusive ever.
Console exclusive? Yes, but
yes.
Or do you mean via streaming?
No, a game that is only available on the Xbox console and not available on PC or elsewhere. Yeah. I don't think there'll ever be another Xbox console exclusive. And I think those days are over. And if that bothers you, I guess
get a Nintendo Switch.
I'll kind of channel Don Matrick here and say there's a console for you. It's called the PlayStation 4 and Nintendo Switch, I guess. I don't really know. But yeah, so let's talk about this whole strategy here of them bringing it to Steam. So they get all this great goodwill because, like, I've seen nothing but really positive remarks. Halo's like back in the forefront of people's minds again, obviously leading up to the release of Halo Infinite, which is where, I think Microsoft is looking to capitalize on all this. But to me, it's really great to see the love pour out for Halo. It's my favorite gaming franchise ever. And to see people like, yeah, can't wait to play all these games. Oh, fucking Halo's great. I just like, man, that kind of makes me smile, you know?
I can't believe, like, the PC Master Race subreddit, which is, like, the most negative subreddit against Microsoft usually, even they were celebrating it. And I was like, wow, this is really a big deal, you know, for like, what Halo is. Like, getting back to that level again, like, the sort of mega franchise level that we haven't really seen it be for quite a while. This is what needed to happen. You know, they could never do that as a console exclusive anymore. I think, like, it's just the reality of the industry. When they're competing with free-to-play games like Fortnite, which are literally everywhere, what do? You know, you can't really compete with them anymore. You have to compete with them where they are, and they are everywhere, you know. People aren't going to come to Xbox, pay $500 for a console to play a shooter when they can just get Fortnite for free on anything, you know, and it runs on every type of console. I mean, they even bought DX12 to Windows 7. So DX12 like was like a Windows 10 exclusive, and they're like, yeah, you know what? We can't force people to use Windows 10, so let's bring DX12 runtimes to Windows 7. And Microsoft has just sort of given up on trying to force people onto certain devices. And this has been their sort of modus operandi now for like quite a while. Ever since Microsoft appeared on stage at WWDC and said Office is coming to iPad. The first time when they did that, that was just the sign that pretty much everything they have, all their services now, they're going to be on everything because they have to compete with these services which aren't beholden to platforms. Google Docs doesn't care about running only on Chromebooks because no one's going to quit Office to run. No one's going to quit Windows to run Google Docs. They'll just use Office. So Google's just like, well, let's just put it everywhere. That's just how the industry works now for some games. I mean, but that's why Sony's smart in doubling down on the single player sort of cinematic games, because nobody else is really doing that. Sony's like basically cornered the market. I mean, how often does a game on God of War's quality come out as a single player game? It's not often, you know. So, but Halo just can't compete with Fortnite. That's the truth of it.
Right. Well, I mean, I don't know. I do see some questions in chat. LaMarcus Doss says Xbox fans think exclusives are anti-consumer. I don't think that's true. Or, I mean, I'm an Xbox fan and I don't think exclusives are anti-consumer. What?
Me neither.
I just see it as business. I mean, Sony, like, they make their own games and they put them on their system. That's not that's Microsoft makes their own games. They put it on their system where they want. Like, I don't really view exclusives as anti-consumer. Now, I guess you could make the argument that buying an exclusive and like a timed exclusive, like Rise of the Tomb Raider, and have an exclusive to Xbox for a year, you maybe could make the case that's anti-consumer. But like Microsoft, like Sony and Microsoft putting their own games on their own platforms, no, I don't think that's anti-consumer. DJ Singh wants to know, but doesn't this devalue Xbox as a console, having Halo on PC?
I think it does, to be honest.
Yes, I.
You can't really downplay the fact that this removes a big reason to get a place to get an Xbox. It does remove a big reason to get an Xbox. If you've got like a powerful gaming rig and you're a Halo fan, there's literally no reason that you'd want to buy a console now, because you can just get it on your Xbox, but get it on your PC. But this is the thing, like, it doesn't really matter the device you use to access the stuff to Microsoft, as long as you're accessing the stuff that they're selling you, you know?
Yes.
It's a weird way of looking at it. In a cloud-oriented world, why should the hardware matter? Companies that don't care about their hardware, the hardware exclusives, like Google aren't gonna care. They ain't gonna make their games exclusive to any hardware. They're gonna put them on smart TVs. They're gonna put them on bloody hell. They'll put them on smartwatches if they can. You know, they'll put it on everything. They ain't gonna care. And the thing is, as much as everyone gets all emotional about it and be like, "Oh, but what about the exclusive on my Xbox? What about exclusive on my Xbox?" Google ain't gonna care. And because of your emotions, you would rather give Google this massive advantage of not having to be beholden to a specific hardware platform, because they'll just put their games on everything and make crazy money. And you'll be asking Microsoft to give up that extra money for your emotions. That ain't how business works, baby.
Yeah. Well, first I got to shout out El Menopio. Sorry if I said his name wrong for the super chat. He said this a while back, but since you brought up Google, he says, "Love the commentary. Does Google really need to be in the game service business? Couldn't they have tried releasing their own games first as a start? Maybe they won't make original content." We kind of answered a lot of stuff already, but
Well,
I think
the truth is Google already is in the game business with Android. You know,
yes.
they sell games on Android. They have a gaming SDK. You can have like Google Play achievements, and like there are social features for gaming, and they do add gaming features to Android with every single update. They technically are in the gaming business. And like, if you say, "Well, oh, mobile gaming isn't real gaming," I mean, that's fine, but the money don't lie, you know. There's a lot of money in that platform ecosystem. And but as we talked about earlier, Google isn't seeing the return because it doesn't have proper control of Android, sadly for them. Tencent controls Android in China, and then like you get Western developers like Epic Games just refusing to use Google Play. You know, you can download Epic on the Samsung Android store, but not the Google Android store, because Android, like Windows, is an open platform because of the monopoly they have. So this is like, for Google, this is the end of the road. You know, they have to get into the console industry. If they want to make any money on this whole service platform, they need to get into it, because they've lost control of their mobile ecosystem. They've lost control of it, you know.
Good point,
So
Jess. I didn't even really think about that at all, really. about how they lost control of it all. But yeah.
Yeah.
But I do want to kind of expand on your point about like the console being I felt the consoles I felt the Xbox One console itself has been devalued ever since they announced Xbox Play Anywhere.
Maybe.
Like, I feel like there's okay, but do I care? No. Doesn't bother. See, people think like, oh, you saying it's devalued means you care. I don't care. I'm going to be playing on Xbox. I don't care that someone could play the game on the PC, and I don't care if they could potentially play the game on the Switch or whatever. Like, I like playing on an Xbox. That's where I play. But I think in any scenario, if you are if you're making your games available elsewhere, right? If you can play Quantum Break 2 on your PC or Quantum Break 2 on your Xbox, by giving people multiple options, it does devalue essentially all of them. But it gives everybody a choice. Like, it doesn't really... I think people just... They can't wrap their minds around this idea that Microsoft doesn't care if you don't buy it on Xbox and they don't, you're not buying a console, right? I think people still have yet to wrap their minds fully around that. Microsoft doesn't care if you play the game on PC. They don't care if you play the game on your mobile phone. They don't care if you play the game on your freaking TV through a smart app. They don't care. And I think people they can't grasp that concept because it's always just been Xbox console versus PlayStation console versus Nintendo console, right? They literally don't care. If they did care, they wouldn't be doing it. Not like you found Phil's loophole. Like, oh, well, I think people need to really grasp that. And come to terms with that Microsoft doesn't care if you don't buy the console and choose to play the games on the PC. They just don't care.
But that that's not to say they aren't going to double down on hardware.
No, that's the next point, because I saw some other questions like, oh, you're lying. They ain't going to be selling hardware. I got some, if you think Xbox is not going to be selling hardware for this next generation, I got some bad news for you. Because they definitely are.
Yes.
I mean, rumored, Anaconda, Lockhart, we'll find about all that eventually. Now, will they always sell console hardware? I don't know. 20 years from now, who knows what the gaming industry looks like? I couldn't tell you. You know? It's just, these things fluctuate. But getting back to Halo, because we went off on a huge tangent there. Do you like how this was actually presented with how it's being doled out to the PC crowd, Jez? Because I'm a little iffy on it. Instead of presenting the whole thing as one package, the Halo Master Chief Collection, where you can just get it right away and have access to everything, they're just doing it one at a time. Halo Reach first, then Halo 1, Halo 2 after some time. And they say it's because they want to make sure everything is great.
I can't speak to like how this whole thing works. They're probably using Halo to test out some new technology, right? Because you've got Killer Instinct on Steam with Xbox Live right now. I don't know if like that's another point we're not really remembering, is that there is already a game on Steam with Xbox Live, and that's Killer Instinct. And is Halo Wars 1? CE got Xbox Live? I don't know. But they're probably testing out some new technology to make sure all this works, the APIs and SDKs and all that sort of stuff. And they're probably going to... I don't know if Steam is going to fully open itself up to having Xbox Live stuff on its systems, or whether this is just a one-off just for Halo. But because the way Steam works right now is that you can put your game on Steam, and it's your executable, and then you can use the Steamworks SDK to add Steam achievements, Steam modding platform, Steam Workshop stuff, and then all the other stuff that Steam offers. You can bake that into your game. But like, obviously Microsoft has its own SDK as well, because it wants you to use Xbox Live and all the systems therein. And So it's unclear whether Steam has opened the floodgates to having multiple platform SDKs on its system, or whether this is just a special deal for Halo. Because I'm sure there are some devs out there who are probably thinking, hang on a sec, how come Microsoft gets to have its platform running on Steam, but we can't have ours running on Steam? So I don't know the specifics about how all that sort of stuff works, but there is going to be new technology at play here. And as we saw from Master Chief Collection launching on the Xbox One, it was a bit of a mess at launch. They've got like multiple engines running multiple different kinds of server technologies all together in one sort of package that have like all different stuff in it. And I presume they've probably got some like new systems to make sure that works properly. And I suppose at the same time, maybe they just want to see how it evolves rather than just dump a whole load of games all at once on the community. I mean, there are marketing benefits as well to bumping it in the news every time a new game launches. Like Xbox Play Anywhere. That the fact that Xbox Play Anywhere launches games one at a time has basically kept it in the news that, oh, by the way, Xbox has backwards compatibility. Not Play Anywhere, backwards compatibility. It's basically kept it in the news that Xbox has backwards compatibility every time they announce a new game. So like this way, it makes sure Halo is kept in the news every time they add a new game to it. And also, it means that there's less development time, I guess, because it means they can get games up as soon as they're ready. So, I don't know. It's hard, you just don't know what the truth is, or whether they really are just wanting to play it safe or whatever. But I don't think it's a bad thing that they're staggering it chronologically, because there'll be lots of people out there who just haven't played Halo before and maybe want the experience of playing one at a time. I don't know. I know I would feel daunted. If like, I don't know, there was a Fire Emblem collection on Nintendo Switch or something, and it was like you can learn all the Fire Emblem games. You've just got to play all of them back to back. I would find that daunting personally. I don't know. Rand? Did Rand go? Am I disconnected? Hello? Oh, dude, Laurent's left me hanging, or I'm disconnected or something. Laurent's muted. Laurent's on the phone or something. Laurent just bailed on me. He got bored and left. Laurent left. Okay, guys, what should we talk about while we wait for Laurent to come back? He's probably out to answer the phone or something. I'll take some questions while we wait for Rand. Hopefully he comes back. Yeah, technical difficulties, people. I'm sure Rand's got a good reason to leave me high and dry. Sing a song. Oh God, no. I'll probably start si You want me to sing the Pokemon theme song? I wanna be the very best. Hit that dislike button right now. Talk about Brexit. No! Borderlands 3. Oh yeah, we were going to talk about Borderlands 3, but then Rand bailed on me, so I guess we're not now. Have we heard about cross-platform play on MCC? Now, that is an interesting question. So they haven't announced the specifics about Xbox Play Anywhere, about cross-play, about mouse and keyboard for Xbox One and stuff like that. They haven't announced any specifics, and I guess they're going to announce those that information maybe at E3 and stuff like that. I don't know. But they haven't announced any of that stuff yet, which was a bit confusing, because I was like, have they announced this? Have they not announced it? They didn't announce when they were going to announce it either, so I don't know. Jez, should Reach be free for people who bought the backwards compatible version? It's only $5. And they did do work to upgrade it, right? I don't know. What do you guys think? Do you think it should be free? I think $5 is a fair price to pay just to get the upgraded version. Because they don't just like magically upgrade it. Halo Battle Royale, Jez, what do you think about it? I think like Halo is one of the few franchises where Battle Royale makes total sense. Like they've already got the vehicles in there and stuff like that, and they've got really good level designers. Like, I'm
I love
surprised they're not riding that train. Oh, where did you go?
Little accident. I'm gonna be 5 more minutes. So just take
Did
some
you
questions.
Spill some cola?
No. Just there's something going on here. I need to take care of really, really fast.
Oh dear. Okay. So while we run with Rand's technical difficulties, there, we'll take a few questions. Ask me anything, guys. Come on, let's ask me anything. Do you think God of War, Gears of War? I thought that was God of War. Did you think Gears of War will go to the Epic Store since Epic developed the game and it's running the Unreal Engine? I don't think so. Microsoft wholly owns Gears of War, and it would depend on Microsoft, like Epic Games, you know, having the market share. I think Microsoft just feels like, you know what, Epic Games Store doesn't have the market share to warrant our support. And in the same way that, you know, Fortnite isn't on the Microsoft Store because the Microsoft Store doesn't have many eyeballs on it. The truth is, like, we all talk about the Epic Games Store, but, like, how many people actually actively use it, really? You know, it doesn't have any social features in it. It doesn't have a huge library. There can't be that many people looking at it at any one time. So, like, even though it does launch Fortnite or whatever on PC, I doubt that the engagement is at the level it would need to be to get support without money hatting. Jez, what GPU do you have on your PC? I have a GTX 1060, a mobile version. I got a Surface Book 2 with GTX 1060 in it. So I can do 1080p gaming pretty well, but it does struggle a bit with some of the better games. I'm hoping the Surface Book 3 will be announced with RTX this year, so I'll upgrade to the next Surface Book. I haven't got a desktop PC at the moment because I don't have my own place. And if I bought a desktop tower, it would be hard to move it to the new place. But like when I do eventually get my own place, I will buy a PC. And yeah, I play a lot of PC games, you know. I mean, the GTX 1060 and a Core i7. Is it Skylake? I don't think it's Skylake. But, you know, it's not a bad PC for gaming. I play, like, a lot of Stellaris and stuff like that. But, like, I play most of my games on Xbox, generally.
Sorry about that, Jez. My bad.
Oh, okay. Welcome back.
What's up,
bro?
Not much, man. Yeah,
interesting. What happened?
I'll tell you after.
Okay.
So where were we? What were we talking about?
I don't know. Well, we were talking
about Halo. Do you like the piecemeal approach, or would you rather have them offer one big package at once? I think the correct way to do it. So let me explain. I understand why they're doing it this way, because it essentially gives them 5 PR attacks, right?
Yeah, that's basically what I said in the huge speech you did.
Yeah. Whereas, like, you'd only get one, because, like, now you're going to have 5 different chances of being on the home page of Steam, 5 different, you know, like, PR pieces, like, oh, get this. But there's also the risk of you give someone Halo Reach, and they're like, I don't like Halo Reach. So, you know, I'm waiting for Halo 2, which would be who knows how long.
Love Reach, though? Isn't it regarded as one of the best ones?
I don't know. I mean, I love Reach, but not everybody likes Reach's multiplayer and stuff. So all right. I would have preferred to see it like one big collection, but I understand why they did it that way. The other isn't it
just about development? I mean, maybe they just haven't developed it all yet.
Well, I say that, but I mean, I think that's just their way of explaining why it's piecemeal instead of just we're going to have all the work done and it's going to be released in one package. So the other thing, though, is how you're actually going to be able to access the content. So on Xbox, the multiplayer is free, but if you want to own the content, you got to buy it, presumably for a cheap price. I think ODST is $5. So I would guess it's $5. But Game Pass subscribers get the whole thing for free. And then on PC, I guess you buy it and you'll get it and the whole thing. There is some people that say that's kind of crappy to Xbox players, making them pay for it, when on the PC it's free or at least one package, but I don't really agree. Like, you still have to pay for it on the PC and you got to pay for it on the Xbox. Like, I guess there's maybe Microsoft should have given it to owners of Halo Reach or Halo Master Chief Collection because of how crappy Master Chief Collection was for like a year or two. But I really don't see an issue paying for Halo Reach if you want to own it forever. If
we did talk about this, some people asked about it, and I think it's like, you know, it's $5, you know. I spend that on a cocktail, which you end up pissing away. I think like they have done work on it, and it's not like it's not like they're asking for 30 or something like that. You're getting a whole game for $5 remastered. I don't know. And also there's the whole thing about Game Pass for PC, which is no doubt coming.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Like, so when do we think this is actually coming to PC? When's it going to come to the Windows Store? When's it going to come to Xbox? We think in summertime. We think in the fall.
I think like the summer is rattling around in the back of my head. Like someone might have told me summer at some point. So like when you said that, my immediate response was to say summer. Like I knew. I don't think I know, but I think I might have heard that at some point that it was coming for the summer.
Yeah, I feel like summer. I just wonder if they'll be able to get all of them out this year. Presumably up to the launch of Halo Infinite, because that's the payoff. You know, you're going to make a whole bunch of money on Halo Master Chief coming to Steam. You're going to get your monthly active users are going to shoot up because you require everybody to log into Xbox Live. And then maybe those people really get back into Halo, and the only way to play Halo Infinite is on the Windows 10 store and Xbox console.
I don't think that Microsoft would do that.
Well,
it's hard to say, right? Because, like, on the one hand, they've been working on Halo for a long time now. So, like, switching it over to Steam... Because Steam and Windows Store have like different delivery mechanisms. At least right now they do. However, in the near future, as we've seen from State of Decay 1, Microsoft has worked out a way of making a Steam version of a game easy to port to the Microsoft Store. So it depends how they develop Halo Infinite, right? I think like making a Steam version first and then porting that to Xbox and Windows Store probably isn't how they'd do it. But at the same time, they've basically thrown their lot in with the Steam community now. And I don't think they want to piss people off by doing a bait and switch on them.
I mean, I can see that.
To put it on the Windows Store, Halo Infinite's not coming out for a couple of years at least, right? We both agree on that.
End of 2020.
So by then, you would hope that the upgrades to the Microsoft Store and as a sort of launch vehicle for games has been done. So maybe they can get away with it if the store and the Xbox app isn't so terrible. But right now, it is. I hate using the Xbox app and I hate using the Microsoft Store because they're both awful. I'm sorry if anyone from Microsoft is listening to this show, and probably aren't because you have better things to do, but they're terrible and you need to fix them.
Yeah, you say that, but they were listening last episode.
That is true, but
they're always listening, Jez. You know this.
I hate those apps, man. I was using the Xbox app today to make a party. I was trying to right click to get someone into the party, and it was so slow, man. Like, why is it okay for it to be so damn slow? You know, and I get they want to use UWP and I want to support their own ecosystem, but it's garbage, man. Build it on Electron or something. Build it on anything. Make it a web app, for God's sake. Sorry, I'm really mad.
I know, I can tell you're mad. But, and I think I'm going to make a video about this, about are all Xbox exclusives or future Xbox exclusives, and I use exclusives in quotes, going to Steam? Because
I want to say I think they are, man.
Okay, I think that's a good video topic. I will say though that Halo Infinite is currently announced as a Xbox One and Windows 10 exclusive. As of right now, on the Xbox.com website and during their conference, was announced as a Windows 10 and Xbox One exclusive.
What I don't understand, right, is why people, like Xbox fans, seem to accept games hitting the Windows Store, but they don't like it hitting Steam. Like, why does it really matter?
That is a very strange one to me indeed. Like, shout out to Kid Smoove, who, good friend. I love watching his videos. Dude makes me laugh. He's very entertaining. You guys should check out his channel. He doesn't mind if the game is on Windows 10 because he thinks it's part of the Xbox or Microsoft ecosystem. But Steam is outside of that, and he got upset about that. And I've seen other people that got upset about that. And I don't.
Do you want to know the truth? Do you want to know the truth?
Sure.
Steam isn't out of the Microsoft ecosystem because it's part of Windows. And
No, wait.
Let me finish. Windows has never had legitimate competition, and we all just think of it as this sort of thing that's there. But Google is creating competition for Windows now. And Steam is an exclusive platform for Windows. You can't get Steam yet on your phone. Maybe you can in the future. And yes, you can get Steam Link, blah, blah, blah. But you still need a Windows PC to power it, you know. So, honestly, I don't see it as outside of the Windows ecosystem. Because you need a Windows PC to run it. And until you can get Steam on Android or Chrome OS, I'm going to continue to see it as part of the Microsoft ecosystem. Sorry, bro.
You can view it any way you want, but it's not. And
it's not on iPad. It's not on Chrome OS. It's not on platforms that compete with Windows, and which is the whole reason why Microsoft's putting Halo on Steam. Well,
Halo Infinite will soon be on iOS
by streaming in Chrome. Yeah.
I'm just saying, does it really matter if it's on Steam or like the Windows 10 store? It's PC. To me, it's just the same thing. Microsoft gets all the money, and the other one, Microsoft has to give up a 30% cut.
Yeah, but they get tons more sales. So as a result, it ends up being more money anyway.
I don't know. Like I am with you. Like how I don't see how someone could be like okay with it being on the Microsoft store but then being upset that it's on Steam. But then it doesn't bother me where Halo is. Like as long as I can play Halo where I want to play Halo, which is on Xbox, I'm good. I don't care if somebody else is playing it somewhere else. It doesn't matter to me.
How would you feel if Halo was on Ouya?
That'd be fine. Do I still have Halo on Xbox?
No, it's an Ouya exclusive now.
Oh, it's an Ouya exclusive. Either way, I don't know.
What if Splinter Cell was an Ouya exclusive?
Oh my God! Don't do this to me, Jez.
How would you feel about Splinter Cell being an Ouya exclusive or a mobile game?
So El Imanapio, he wants to know, guys, should Game Pass for PC live in the Microsoft Store or be its own app on PC? Well, I mean, I think it'll be a part of the Windows 10 PC store. Are you saying should it be like an also on Steam? I'm not really sure what you mean by that, but I mean I think it'll just be part of the Windows 10 store. I don't know. Jez is playing with my heart talking about Splinter Cell. Watch Splinter Cell be a that's the announcement from Ubisoft, Jez. Splinter Cell, Google exclusive.
I would love it, man.
I would hate you forever. I would hate you for all time.
I don't really care about Splinter Cell at all.
I do. I care about Splinter Cell.
If Splinter Cell was exclusive to Google, I would just be happy because it would hurt you.
You're so mean, dude.
Nah, I'm joking. I would be sad for you, but also maybe laugh a bit. I'll probably bring it up on every podcast and be like, so Rand, you're going to get that Google console? Something.
All right, so Xbox Live coming to, Android and iOS. But weirdly, even though it mentioned Nintendo Switch in the original GDC listing, Not coming to Switch, Jazz? What's going on with all this stuff?
And that was so weird. So, okay, I was in a briefing with Kareem Chaudhry and Julia White, who Kareem Chaudhry runs Microsoft's cloud business for Xbox, and Julia White's VP for Windows Azure, Microsoft Azure, isn't that? Or Windows, I don't know. She's VP for Azure, basically. And they were announcing GameStack, which is a new, it's sort of a product that brings together all of Microsoft's game online game development tools and stuff like Havok and Simplygon into one sort of package, kind of like Office 365, but for running live games. So like Rainbow Six Siege uses Azure and PlayFab to run its systems, and that's I think that's probably the biggest game that uses PlayFab right now. But they announced that GameStack thing, which is really for game devs, and they also announced Android and iOS SDK for Xbox Live. And for people who've been wondering what that means, some people have asked me on Twitter, does that mean Xbox games are coming to Android? No, it doesn't mean like you're suddenly going to get console games on an Android phone. What it means is developers can now put Xbox sign-in achievements, cloud saves, messaging, party systems, and all that stuff. They can now put that in an Android game. Like basically how Age of Empires Castle Siege worked on mobile phones, how Minecraft works on phones. Like you'd get Minecraft on your phone, it has Xbox Live, and you have to sign in and you get your achievements and you get Minecraft Realms and all that stuff. So that's all it means. It means devs can use Xbox Live on phones. And it's funny, you know, around because like Mike Ybarra probably hate me for this, but I tweeted Mike Ybarra like a couple of years ago and said, how come third-party devs can't use the Xbox Live SDK on Android and iOS? And he said, they can't they? And I said, no. Only Microsoft games have Xbox Live. Because like at the time, the Xbox Live SDK was exclusive to the Windows platforms, Windows Phone and PC and Xbox, obviously. So 2 years later, and here we are. We've got it finally for Android. Because it makes no sense for them to not have it. But I said to Kareem Chaudhry, I said, why would an Android developer want to bother putting Xbox Live on its games when they couldn't even be bothered to put it on Windows Phone games? Because like no Windows Phone games had it because it was a pain to work with.
Well, that's the thing I read in your article, and I had the same thought, is like, are a lot of developers even going to bother using this?
Yeah, like there is literally no real benefits for them to use it because if they're making an Android game for Google Play, Google offers the same suite of tools that offer achievements and single sign-on and stuff like that, but it's like baked into the Android SDK and it's like, why would a game, what benefit is there for game developers who want to use that? And he couldn't give me an answer, to be honest. He just said, we think it's good value for devs and stuff like that. You know, he just gave me sort of canned answer because you know, as someone who's been covering Microsoft for years now and who's been through the whole why aren't devs using Xbox for Windows Phone games fiasco, I know that devs aren't going to use this because it doesn't really add much value, you know. So it was a bit of a, now why it was interesting before was because we thought it was coming to Nintendo Switch. And because we thought it was coming to Nintendo Switch, because Microsoft's own GDC listing said it was coming to Switch, but then they deleted it. We all thought that, oh, this means Ori is going to come to Switch with Xbox Live and Cuphead and the, you know, the sort of indie-ish ex Microsoft published games that make sense, you know. Like Ashen could hit Nintendo Switch with
So,
Xbox.
what's the story here? Was it a premature announcement? Was it, is it delayed? Is it like one of those things where the deal wasn't finalized in time, so he can't really talk about it yet? Like, was there Reggie, him retiring? Did that throw a roadblock and everything? Like, because I.
I don't know. I asked Kareem. I said, so I literally said to him, I said, so what's the timing on the Nintendo Switch part? Because for me, it was like they said it was coming to Switch on their own system. So I just assumed that it was. And they were like, oh, we have nothing to announce at this time for any other platforms, just that it's coming to Android and iOS. So it was kind of like,
So
wait, what?
basically, you might be able to get 1,000 gamer score in Candy Crush.
Yes.
Maybe, depending on if people actually use it.
Well, that's another question I said. So can you name some big third-party devs that are going to use this system? And he said, at this time, no. Can't speak about our deals with partners, and we don't have anything to announce at this time. Paraphrasing, that's not a direct quote. I can put the direct quote in my article, I guess. But there's no announced game devs that are going to use it. There's like a handful of Windows 10 mobile games that use it. Like, I think some of the Gameloft games use it. Very few of them do. The Touch games. Microsoft's own games use it, like Age of Empires Castle Siege, which actually got shut down recently. And you got things like Solitaire, which uses it. Minecraft uses it, obviously. Gears Pop will use it. But beyond that, I don't really see anyone using it. So this isn't really a big deal anymore. It was a big deal when it was announced for Switch, but announced for Android, I don't think it's a big deal.
Yeah, but I thought the bigger news out of all this was the game stack, Microsoft Game Stack announcement, where they're like bundling all their potential services into one thing. That seems to be like a bigger thing than just Xbox Live coming to iOS and Android.
But the thing is, there's nothing new there either. Actually, all the stuff that is bundled into Game Stack, that was just part of Azure and Game PlayFab before. So like all it does is like let developers buy it all as a big bundle. So and there are a few new things like PlayFab matchmaking and PlayFab modding platform and stuff like that. But again, it's like, I don't know.
Is that my buddy ZDox from the Reset Era Discord, he said this was big news, and what you're saying is that he's wrong, and it's really not news at all.
It's cool, and ZDox is a cool guy, by the way. Shout out to him. But he's a game dev, and he loves Microsoft, so of course he's going to think it's cool. But like for devs who like they aren't already on PlayFab and that stuff, I don't think they're going to care about it that much. And Microsoft has to prove it, you know. First, and they did name call Rainbow Six Siege in the presentation. As I said, Rainbow Six Siege uses Azure and PlayFab to host its online systems, but no other Ubisoft games do, weirdly. So to me, that's kind of like, well, if it's so great, why doesn't Ubisoft port all of its games to PlayFab and Azure? You know, I think they need some more case studies, and you know, and be like, oh well, today we're announcing five new partners for game stack and stuff like that. I mean, it's early days yet. It's basically Office 365 for game devs, and it has a suite of tools for game devs to make online games or offline games or whatever they want. But for the end user, there's nothing that you need to worry about, basically.
All right, so I see a question here that I have to answer, and it's from a user named Sam. Now, Sam says, hi, I was curious about your thoughts on the whole Yakuza incident. Very, very interested to hear your opinions. Yakuza. Have you heard anything about this, Jazz? The Yakuza incident?
Oh, hang on. Wasn't this like someone was done for cocaine?
Yeah. So one of the actors or one of the characters who voices one of the characters in Judgment, which is a Yakuza spinoff. So he got caught like doing cocaine or saying he's high on cocaine or whatever, and because of it, Sega decided to pull all the retail versions of the game off the shelves. They removed the digital version off of PlayStation Network, I believe, in Japan, and they've like deleted all the tweets about the game promoting it, and there's talk that possibly Judgment won't be coming to the West, that they might just cancel the game and not even have it come out here because of that.
Just because of that?
Just because of that.
That is so weird. I mean, actors get done for things all the time.
And they're removing... So this guy also did a voice in Kingdom Hearts 3. They're removing that dude's voice, going back into Kingdom Hearts 3 and removing that dude's voice in Kingdom Hearts 3 in Japan because of it. Well, I think drug use is like a serious thing in Japan, though.
It's drug, yeah.
It or like, like
I don't know much about Japanese culture. Are drugs really taboo there? I can't see them doing that in the West, because like pretty much the entire middle class in the West is on cocaine. But seriously, I think that's a dumb reason to cancel a game.
I mean, I completely agree with you. Like, so what? The one guy who does the voice, he likes to, do some coke when he's not doing the, like, come on. That seems like a very dumb reason to cancel the game or shelve it or whatever. Like, So Shady in chat says coke is not viewed the same in Japan. It is serious there. It's a culture thing, which is, he says, it's
Right.
very taboo, which is probably the reason for this. It's yeah, it's pretty crazy. One actor gets caught with it. Next thing you know, game could be canceled. I know my buddy
That's
Loveboat
lame.
Gopher.
It screws over everyone else who worked on the game.
Yeah, my buddy Loveboat Gopher, who's really into the Yakuza series, right? He was shedding tears about this. He was crying in party chat the other night. Like, he couldn't believe this was happening. He loves his Yakuza games. He loves his Japanese culture. He loves his anime and his.
Does he like Pokemon?
Does he like Pokemon? I'm not sure. He likes anime. He likes, like, One Piece and Dragon Ball
Love
and.
about do you like do you like Pokemon?
And I'm saying the animes that I know he doesn't like on purpose. But yeah, he.
He likes the kawaii cute cute animes,
I don't
right?
know. I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm sure there's there. I they sometimes I'll get in a party. It'll be him. It'll be Magic, and it'll be Sam, and they're just talking about anime that just goes over my head, and I just want to end it all. I just want to end it all just listening to this stuff. Oh my God, did you see Naruto do that to Yakuza son in episode 55? Like, oh my God, it's.
Oh my God, when like people talk about Pokemon or anime, Rand starts to sound like an old man. Like, get off my lawn, you crazy kids.
Yeah, it's
All right.
ridiculous. I just sit there and then they'll apologize. Oh, we're sorry, Rand. I'm like, yeah, I'm about to die over here talking about all this anime nonsense.
Man, I bet you'd like anime if you gave it a chance. I'll recommend you some
The
after
only
this.
anime I think I ever saw was Vampire Hunter D. And I mean, I did watch Dragon Ball back in the day with my brother, but other than that, like, I don't think I've never watched like
You never watched Pokemon?
any true, like, anime or whatever. So,
That was a true anime. That's
I mean,
true.
I don't know. I guess it's supposed to be popular anime, but yeah, I know Gopher has been waiting for me all day. He wanted me to make a video about it, but I said we talk about it in the podcast about the Yakuza thing because it deeply, deeply affected him. But there's one last topic I kind of wanted to talk about, and that was the xCloud demo from Inside Xbox and the reception it kind of got received. People were like, this seems very fake. Like, her exaggerated movements seems like either there's a lot of latency in it, or it was like a pre-recorded demo. Now, I think the whole pre-recorded demo thing is stupid. And I was going back and forth with Shady on this on Twitter because Shady was convinced that it was fake. And I'm like, just watch her fingers. When she presses left trigger to brake, the car lights up. The brake lights up on the back. It's a one-to-one match. I just don't think she'd be out there to give an interview while playing Forza Horizon, a game which she admittedly doesn't really know how to play and plays badly. Also remembering when she's supposed to turn and hit the brakes and all that stuff. So it's like, that seems way too complicated. Why not just do it actually live there? But people saw that exaggerated thumb movement and how it was on the screen, and people were like, well, wait a minute, this doesn't really look real. It looks like there's a lot of latency. So, in my opinion, I think it was a completely 100% real demo. It looks like how actually Forza plays if you actually do that stuff. Someone actually posted a video on the Reset Era forum doing exactly what she was doing, and the car doesn't move that much. I just think.
Thing is, right? Microsoft can't get away with lying because they are the leakiest company on earth. It wasn't a fake demo; it was real. But like, it's like you say, if you're just messing around for like a quick live demo while playing, I don't know. Maybe it wasn't the best way to showcase it.
That's the thing.
I
That's the
haven't
thing.
seen it. I haven't seen it, so I can't really fully comment. But I know it's not fake.
No, LaMarcus says, this is why we clown you Xbox guys. That shit was clearly fake. Nuh-uh. 100% real. Now, I'm not saying it was good. I'm not saying there was no latency, but that stuff was real as real gets. Now, I think maybe they used the wrong game to actually demo that with, and she didn't really know how to play it, which is, once again, why would you do that? Why don't you get a game that someone knows how to play and actually film it under ideal circumstances? You know, I like Google's going to get out there presumably with its software and stream Doom. And I would think a great presentation. And I look at, you know what I honestly thought about that whole presentation, Jez? That Microsoft only did it because GDC and the Google thing is next week. That it was their one last chance to get people to remind people that they have a streaming platform too. You know what I mean? That's the only thing I can think of, because it was presented in such a bad manner that here you have people talking about whether or not it was real or whether or not she was just a bad player, whether or not there was huge latency. Like, there shouldn't be any questions when you demoed this for, you know?
Yeah, I completely agree. Like, it's new tech. People don't believe it. Google's going to nail its presentation. Microsoft can't afford to have had a bad presentation there. And, like, this isn't anything against, you know, Julia and stuff. It was like, it was, they put her in that situation. It's not Julia's fault. They put her in that situation. So anyone who's pitchforking Julia, and I can see people doing it on Twitter and stuff, you're a scumbag, and I hate you.
I'm not saying it's her fault. I mean, like, not everybody.
No, I'm just saying, like, there are people who are attacking her.
I know, but I mean,
it's not her fault. It's,
yeah, Mark, she doesn't really play Forza. If someone doesn't really know how to play Forza, so like, you put her to present, so you have her play a game that she normally wouldn't play, while also talking to Kareem, answering questions about this game while a live demo. It's not the best, like, situation for that.
No, and it's awful.
I think Microsoft should and could do better presenting how xCloud works in a better setting with a game that probably shows it off with someone that I don't want to say like Julie, like, I mean, she admitted that she didn't like, there's just better circumstances and better parameters. You can make it so it was like a really good demo. This is kind of the same thing I had with when they originally, the second time they showed off Crackdown 3 during Comic-Con, where they had these people who'd really never played Crackdown before. And they didn't really know how to play, and it just made Crackdown look bad. You only have a few opportunities for first impressions, and xCloud is a new thing. It's new tech. They had that one, YouTube video they made introducing you to it, and here's the first live demo, and it raises more questions than it answers. And I kind of feel like they only did it because Google's presentation's next week.
Are you saying they crackdowned it?
Yeah, I think they could do a much, much better presentation for that than what they did.
Yep. And the worst is, like, I keep hearing about how good it is from, like, you know, random people I know at Microsoft who've used it. You know, it's supposedly the latency on Bluetooth. The latency on your Bluetooth controller will be higher than the latency of connecting to the server if you're in the right place. And stuff like that. I keep hearing about how good it is and how futuristic it is and all that sort of stuff. And I really want to hold my expectations in check because, again, it's unproven technology and you don't want to, like, oversell something. But they need to be white hot about how they present this because Google could crush them and it could be Android all over again. You know, Android crushed Microsoft's mobile dreams, and you've got Chrome OS crushing Microsoft in the education sector. Microsoft can't afford to lose this to Google, and right. They can't afford to be screwing it up with weak presentations like this.
Well, yeah, ZX says Killer Instinct would have been the perfect game to show it off with using a fighting game player, and I 100% agree, because you could see the movements with the controller combined with the face buttons to see when the attacks would go off. That would be the perfect game. You could judge it, and I think they just chose Forza because it was, you know, it's like the last great exclusive. It looks really great. Oh my God, Forza Horizon 4 on the phone.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, I think there's better games that you could have shown off the demo with.
Killer Instinct actually is perfect because they could have just put it in auto combo mode and like just like shown the movements and like if you can't like press the buttons really accurately on the touchscreen.
So at least
like auto combos and stuff.
Miggy 1483 says it will live or die by how it's received in beta. This demo won't mean shot in the long run. I mean, that's true. You're right. I mean, it is just I just feel like you should always try to present your product in the best way possible every time.
Well, put it this way, right? If Google's presentation is a home run, all of a sudden, all the mainstream media will be like, okay, what's our most closest comparison to that? And they'll all go back to that Julia demo. You know, and they'll be like, oh, are we comparing it to this now? You know, and then whoever Microsoft agreed that was a good thing to do to show off the tech. I think like that'll haunt them, you know, if they don't come up with something better. And to be fair, they could easily do another event.
Oh, of course. I'm sure they will. Yeah. And then there'll be the public demos, the public trials of it, eventually whenever that comes out and whenever it does fully launch. Are you starting to think that xCloud won't fully launch? And I mean fully, like out of beta, out of public testing until 2020, 2021?
I think like it'll hit America in 2020, and then the rest of us non-American peasants will have to wait even longer for it. Because if there's one thing Microsoft sucks at, it's global service launches. Like America is always its priority because obviously, and then like maybe other English language regions might get it next. But this has to be like rolled out into all the different server farms they've got around the world, and they've got 54 now, I want to say. They've just opened some in Africa, making them the first global cloud provider to have African data center. And you know, they're really well positioned to get this right with all their data centers. Where they'll fail is in misjudging Google. And I think sometimes Microsoft's super complacent about Google sometimes. Like they were laughing at Chrome OS. And now it's killing them in some markets.
I mean, you know? I mean, I know it's not Google, but I mean, Ballmer laughed at the iPhone.
Yeah, exactly. Even now, I think Microsoft is complacent about what Google could do to them and how disruptive Google could potentially be. I think they're super complacent about it. And I think if anything kills xCloud, it's going to be Microsoft's complacency more than anything.
Well, if anything kills xCloud, it'll be if it doesn't really work well. And if internet speeds and data caps don't rise to meet it, and if Xbox really doesn't have really good content for people to actually use on, you know, like.
Well, that's the thing. I believe they'll get the tech right, and I believe it'll work. I just believe, like, if Google matches them on tech, Google will probably beat them on delivery. If Google and Microsoft's tech is identical, Microsoft will screw up in ways like, oh, by the way, this is available in America now. It'll be available in the UK in 6 months. It'll be available in Australia in another 6 months. And then Google will just be like, oh, by the way, it's available globally instantly. Because Google takes its role as a global company more seriously than Microsoft does.
I'm getting flashbacks to tier one and tier two countries for the Xbox One launch.
Exactly. You
know, when it only launched in 13 countries and then launched
even
later.
Now, you don't get Surfaces on a global launch. You sure as hell get Pixel phones as a global launch. Microsoft sucks at being a global company. They suck at it. And the thing is, the whole point of a cloud service is that it's global because you can send it over the internet. And the thing is, for Microsoft to brag about the size of its cloud, it only matters if you're using it. And Google could beat them on distribution and be at more markets faster and become the way you stream those games. They'll get it onto TVs faster. They'll cut the deals where they need to be cut better than Microsoft, because that's the sort of stuff Microsoft sucks at. They're like, what's that analogy? Have you seen The Dark Knight?
Of course I've seen The Dark Knight.
Okay, well, there's this one scene where Joker says, I'm like a dog chasing cars. Like when I get there, I have no idea what to do with it. That's just like Microsoft. They get all this cool tech, and they work really hard to make all these cool tech and all these cool systems. and they don't nail the execution because they don't know how to, they don't know what to do with it. They don't know how to communicate with people, and they don't know how to do global distribution. And that's just been a fact of Microsoft since I've been covering them, you know? So I really do think if Microsoft screws up with Google, gets screwed by Google in this, it'll be because of the details, you know, it'll be because of that stuff. It won't be because the tech sucks. And I hope I'm wrong, but I don't know.
And with that, we're going to end the show and open up the floor to some questions, even though Jez got a whole bunch of questions earlier. So hit us up with any questions. And I know we had like 350 people watching earlier. We only have 133 likes. So it's the end of the show. If you really enjoyed the podcast, enjoy me and Jez's banter here, discussion, make sure you leave a like, as it does help out the show actually quite tremendously. That can never be understated. Likes mean a ton. The more the better. So so let's see some questions, and we'll answer them, and then we'll get out of here. I know it's a little bit late for Jez. Hellmarch says 10 out of 10 banter. Yeah, the banter is really good. Shady says, have you seen The Dark Knight lull to Rand of all people? I know, I'm only like the biggest Batman fan there is, right?
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. So Joe Taylor says, Rand and Jez, with Jade Raymond joining Google and Amy Henning being at their GDC conference, how important is it for Microsoft to get someone like Glenn Schofield as studio head and have them open a new studio?
Well, I suppose this boils down to just basic investment, you know. I mean, if Google's putting out the big bucks to get like big names like Jade Raymond on board, you know, and she pretty much like she helped grow Ubisoft into what it is now in some ways. Microsoft needs to match that, and Microsoft's been really diligent about buying like some really great, what I probably would call AA studios for the most part, with the exception of like Playground. But you know, I mean, we've talked about this before, Ryan. Like, then none of them are really huge, heavy hitters. Like, even Obsidian, like...
Yes.
People have really fond memories of Obsidian, but what have they done for us lately? You know?
I mean, I wouldn't classify them any as, like, super big... Like, they're not Insomniac, right? Yeah. Insomniac would have been a huge hitter. I mean, they're good studios, but... I mean, we don't know if Amy Henning's joining or if she's just there to talk. We don't really know what, like... Jade Raymond's doing. I mean, I would love Glenn Schofield to have his own studio at Xbox. He's been a part of Visceral, which is Dead Space. He's done a lot of good stuff. I mean, they're building the initiative, right? Which is going to take some time. And they did put out their recruitment video, Jazz, and there are some concerns, how they mentioned in the video, that they're going to remain small and agile. And people think that means that they're going to make some small game and not some big AAA experience.
I mean, in their very old recruitment articles, they describe themselves as quadruple A. So that set expectations quite high.
So do you think the small and agile thing is just mainly for like the pre-production, where they can get the culture of the studio right, they can kind of, you know, flow like water, and then eventually when they go into full production, they can really kind of beef up? Or are you looking at the initiative as making, you know, they're just going to, it's not going to be a Gears type of game or a Halo type of game where you have that kind of experience? I mean, what's your read on that? What do you think?
Well, actually, I've been talking to someone about this recently, like a pretty prominent developer I was talking to, you know, here and there about the whole thing. And he was basically saying to me, Santa Monica has this sort of a different kind of cult. The whole reason, the fact they're based in Santa Monica isn't a surprise, or it's not like random. It's like strategic, because Santa Monica has like a very large contract developer community where like you can scale up and scale down pretty rapidly by getting contractors in. Because like, for example, you don't need to have concept artists throughout the whole way through production, for example. You can just sort of like, they can do their job and then move on to a different studio, move on to a different game, and sort of work that way. And that's why some of the Santa Monica studios are so successful as they are, because they do have this sort of more agile culture. So it might have been, they might have been referring to agility in that context, because that's how things work there, apparently, in the dev community. I don't know for sure. I could be wrong or have misinterpreted what I was told. But I think we ultimately just need to wait and see. It's impossible to speculate on what they'll make. But I think the best policy with Xbox Game Studios in general right now is to take a wait-and-see approach. I mean, that's the safest thing, right?
Yeah. Well, Shady wants to know, define quadruple A. Small amount of talent can create incredible things. Well, I think Microsoft defines those as budgets. Quadruple A, triple A, double A, single A are just like the budget of the game. And this, right? Isn't that how Microsoft kind of looks at it like that? So a quadruple A game would probably be Halo or something that requires a lot of money. That's how Microsoft looks at it. Gunstar says, do you think Microsoft have any big purchases planned? Minecraft level. On a Minecraft level? Probably not.
Minecraft was $2 billion, right?
Yeah, yes, I think so. Right around there.
What now is independent and worth about $2
billion? Independent and worth $2 billion. I mean, that's a good point. What is independent and worth that amount of money?
Is in PUBG? Gaming? PUBG is not independent, is it, anymore?
I don't think so. I think they have investments from other companies.
Tencent,
but
right.
Yeah. That's a good question. I would say no. I do think they'll have more studio purchases, but like a big Roblox purchase? I don't really see it happening.
I would love to see Microsoft get really serious and buy like a big franchise or a big publisher or a big company. But you know, at the same time, it's like they say, if they buy a publisher, people are going to lose their jobs because they're not going to need the publisher's finance department and administration and stuff like that. Which is like why there were so many Blizzard layoffs recently. Because like they're winding down marketing and bringing their Blizzard's, they basically absorb Blizzard now. So like all Blizzard's finance stuff has been bought into in-house at Activision and stuff like that. So all of them got laid off, bringing the marketing in-house. So a lot of the marketing people got laid off and all that sort of stuff. And that's what happens if you buy a publisher. Like you just end up at a point where you don't need the overhead. So don't know, man. I think Microsoft might buy a game again one day, like Minecraft's sort of level, but it'd really have to make sense for them. Like Minecraft has become this sort of just completely different from what it was when it was purchased. It's beyond the game now. It's more like a platform. You know, they run education platform through it, developer tools through it. They use it as like a canary game for testing all sorts of stuff like Xbox Live SDK and stuff like that. Minecraft has proven its value like multiple times over as a platform for Microsoft. So like I think like a game that is a platform would probably make most sense for Microsoft, but I can't really think of any that are like that out there right now that aren't already owned.
Yeah, I can't think of any. I think they'll make a couple studio purchases, but a big thing, I don't think so. LaMarcus Rand, why do people underestimate Sony, even though they have taken on 3DO, Nintendo, Sega, Microsoft, and beat them all? Why, Rand, why? I don't think anybody underestimates Sony. I certainly don't. I mean, who's underestimating Sony? They are the market leader. What?
I don't know. I think people often downplay Sony, and they talk that people often say like because Sony isn't this like massive corporation with huge quarterly income that they, because like that's one of the things I always say is that Microsoft doesn't see Sony as competition. They see Google and Apple as their competition. Maybe even not Apple these days, but like they look at Tencent and they look at Google and Amazon as cloud providers and see them. As an entity, Microsoft doesn't really view Sony as competition, but in the console space where Sony's core business lies, they are utterly dominant. So I don't know. I think underestimating Sony as a global company that can compete with Google and Amazon in terms of cloud services and stuff like that, I think like Sony has a lot to prove in that space. Like PlayStation now is garbage.
I think he really meant to say PlayStation, not necessarily Sony. Why do people underestimate PlayStation? Right? I don't think people do. I mean, right now I'll tell you, if I was making a bet on who would sell the most consoles next generation, all my money would go right to PlayStation 5.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Mine wouldn't.
I mean, would it be Nintendo?
Hell yeah, baby. Switch 2, Pokemon Sword and Shield 2. That's all you need, man. Nintendo are back.
I'm just saying, I don't think Microsoft stands a shot at selling as many consoles as Sony unless Lockhart SKU really takes off. But even then, they lost Europe, which is where Sony just is. It's Sony land. So, like,
you can't, like, I swear, in Europe, like, I live in Germany, right? And Microsoft has a really good presence in the UK. Like, I know loads of people who've got Xboxes in the UK, but like, Xbox is non-existent in Germany. It's just non-existent.
Yeah.
You tell people you got an Xbox, they'll look at you funny. You go to a supermarket, you can get store credit for Origin in a supermarket before you can get store credit for Xbox in a German supermarket. It's hilarious. So they have lost that market so hard.
Yeah. Let's see. Frizen Chief wants to know, will Microsoft ever bundle Xbox Live and Game Pass into a single premium subscription? I think something along those lines could happen at some point. You know, I honestly think at some, like, Game Pass, I think you'll see it evolve, maybe have different tiers. And I could easily see one being Xbox Live Gold included, or potentially maybe, you know, the multiplayer games in Xbox Game Pass don't require Xbox Live Gold or something. What do you think, Jez?
Sorry, can you repeat that?
Will Microsoft ever bundle Xbox Live and Game Pass into a single premium subscription?
The thing that I always say is, like, we're always exploring ways of delivering more value to our consumers. And I think, like, they could do some sort of bundle discount. They do that for Office. Like, for Office, you can buy, like, you can buy a personal license, but then you can buy, like, you can get, like, a bunch of licenses for a family that is cheaper than buying them all separate and stuff like that, you know? I can see them bundling it in the future, but you're adding, like, confusion and complexity, especially at a time where Game Pass is still sort of trying to find its foothold in the consumer psyche. I think, like, layering on extra complexity is probably not the best idea, but I don't know. I don't know. I think they probably will do something like that in the future. And Microsoft's all about adding options, right? So the more they think, like, the more options we add, the more market share we can potentially get, because it, like, people who might not have enjoyed that niche, maybe they'll enjoy that niche, but I don't know. I don't know.
You don't know. I think I saw one more question in there. See if I can find it. Ermi, here we go. What will X enhanced games be called in the next gen? Will 4K 30 games be 4K 60?
Interesting. Go on.
I was just gonna say whatever Anaconda's called, maybe, if that would be like the version of if Anaconda's called
what if it's the X2?
X2 enhanced?
X2 enhanced. That's weird.
Yeah.
I have to give them a new name, right? It won't be called the Xbox One. Will it?
Yeah, that's the other thing. Like, what are they going to name? I maybe just call it Xbox? Xbox 5? I don't know. Will 4K 30 games be 4K 60? Potentially. Potentially. Very well could be.
I think that's the leap, isn't it? To get 60 frames across the board. But, like, you get... There are other things they can do, like ray tracing. Ray tracing is super intensive on processing, and that's like for realistic shadows and stuff like that. And it really does make a big difference, but my God, it is intensive. So, yeah. I don't know. I mean, some developers, like, they're just happy to sacrifice the frame rates to get something that looks beautiful, you know?
Yeah. I guess I said Anaconda wrong. Someone said, Rand, it's not Anaconda. Sometimes I speak wrong. Chill, you know?
Yeah, Rand, Stan's getting old, guys.
Yeah. You know, I was in speech therapy for most of my young life. I don't know
really?
If you guys know that. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Feel bad now. There's certain combinations of words I don't say very well. But yeah, I was in speech therapy from like first grade to fifth grade. So, I mean, it's no big deal. Like, I know, like, sometimes when I speak fast, I'll say a word wrong. You know, I have a little bit where I kind of like flip things around. Like, for instance, one of the biggest, I don't even know if I want to say this because it's, people are just going to make fun of me, but we were in a party chat one day. It was like my buddy Magic and my buddy Maka, and we were talking, and I wanted to say something about Justin Bieber, right? It was like something like that, but I called him Justin Bieben or Juster Bieben, right? Because I flipped the two back ends of it, and it's not the first time I've done stupid stuff like that. And it happened like months ago, and I still hear it. Like, oh, they're like randomly like, and introducing Justin Bieber or like Juster Bieben or whatever, which way I said it, right? All because, you know, I had like speech problems when I was younger. But anyways, it's all good. It's all good. But we're gonna end the show on that. We really appreciate everyone coming out, hitting the like button, sharing this out, commenting in chat. Anybody that really donated through Super Chat, we appreciate it. Jez, tell the people where they can find you and what you got coming soon on Windows Central.
Well, you can find me on the internet at Jez Corden on Twitter. I am currently working on Division 2 review.
Ooh, yeah. All right, Division 2. I can't wait to actually play that again.
What else am I working on? Nothing super cool at the minute, but you know, soon you might be able to find our podcast on Windows Central, actually.
Yeah, that's right. We have to talk about that. So apparently the podcast will be on Windows Central, which is pretty cool. More people can listen to it, you know, if they can't or don't want to listen to it live, which is great. So hi to everybody watching this later or listening to it later on iTunes. We appreciate you. And we'll be back next week. GDC week, there'll probably be a ton of information. We'll have stuff about Google, potential stuff about Xbox, who knows, maybe even the specs will leak for the PS5 and the Xbox 2. It could be a crazy week week.
Oh, Rand.
Yeah.
I just want to say, remember earlier we were talking about Epic Games Store possibly harvesting Steam users?
Yeah, and I sent that stuff to you. Is it true?
It seems to be true. So like I was thinking that maybe because you can link Epic Games Store to Steam, right? To import your friends over. And I was thinking maybe it was just that and the guy was exaggerating. But no, even if you don't link your Steam account to Epic Games, it scrapes the config files in Steam and gets your data without your permission.
Is that kind of seemed really scummy and kind of illegal, right? Maybe?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, if what it seems to be, it seems to be true, you know.
All right. Well, on that note, we're going to end the show. We'll see you next week. A lot of GDC talk, maybe a lot of potential megatons for the show next week. So thank you guys so much for watching, and we'll see you next week. Later, guys.